You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
This is Good Humans Podcast with me, Cooper Chapman, chatting to the world's best about the inspiring stories that got them to where they are today. What's going on, you good humans? Welcome to guest episode 136 of Good Humans Podcast with a great friend of mine and one of the best female surfers on this planet, India Robinson. India's been a previous guest on this podcast back on episode 76. She gave us a full rundown of her story, her through her upbringing, and yeah, got us up to the point where she's at today. So we did a bit of a catch-up episode. It was about 18 months ago, the episode she was last on, and she's achieved a whole lot in the past year and a half, and I loved getting to get to know all about it. It blew my mind. I had no idea. Quite often when we look from the outside in at people when they're achieving big things, we make assumptions of how they're getting there and the journey, and the journey was so different to what I was expecting. So make sure you listen to the whole way through this episode. You're going to be absolutely blown away. A big thank you, as always, to our sponsors, Drinker Rapper. These guys have been supporting my brain and so many of yours, and also India. Ever since she came on the podcast, she has been talking to a rapper and they've been sending her product for the last year and a half. That's how much of a legend they are. So go over to their website, drinkarepa.com, use the code GOODHUMAN. You can get a big 25% off. It's something that even India mentions throughout this podcast. She got recommended by the person helping her with her brain injuries to grab something like a rapper. And yeah, she's been loving it as well. So yeah, go check out the science. It's all about improving your brain health, short-term brain performance, long-term brain health, all good stuff in there, all natural ingredients. So yeah, head over to drinkarepa.com. Use that code GOODHUMAN, 25% off. Big thanks to them for supporting. Also, if you want to learn more about the Good Human Factory, the organization that I run, head over to thegoodhumanfactory.com. You can learn all about the workshops that I run. We've got a whole bunch of school workshops coming up in term one. I'm really looking forward to speaking to a bunch of young students in high school to, yeah, pass on some messages and some understandings and really trying to challenge them to think about mental health a little differently. So if you want to learn more about the workshops, you can find that on the website. You can also pick up some of our merch. The community is just so strong now. Every day we're getting tagged in people's Instagram stories saying they're getting people coming up to them, asking them what they're grateful for. And that's what the merch is all about. Starting conversations, making positive impact in your community can all start with just a t-shirt. So head over to thegoodhumanfactory.com, use the code podcast, big 25% off over on the merch. And yeah, would love to see you guys rocking it and tag us on social media. Okay, so today with India, yeah, it was really cool. We caught up and learned all about her journey to basically recovery. When we last caught up, she'd just fallen off the world tour. She had a brain injury she was trying to recover from multiple concussions. And yeah, we kicked off this episode learning about what she's been up to over the last year and a half. And it blew me away. She has been fighting her way back, getting back to her full health, and then she had another brain injury right before Snapper Rocks, which she then went on to win, which is just a crazy story. You're going to absolutely love this episode. She then went on to take out the whole series while juggling another really, really bad concussion. And yeah, I think it's a really good episode to show you what's possible even when you aren't at full health, when you are just kind of sticking to what you know and getting through life. Sometimes you can achieve massive things. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend. That's what this podcast is all about, getting some really powerful stories that are inspiring, that have information that we can really learn from. So if you know anyone who gets a head knock and needs to learn a bit more about concussion, send them this episode because, yeah, there's the potential to really help people when they're struggling with some injuries and some injuries that are usually quite unspoken about with, concussions and head injuries. So make sure you share this episode with a friend, tag it on your Instagram. It's all really helpful when you do that for us. Make sure you go hit that like and subscribe button, give us 5 stars, and yeah, let's jump into today's episode.
Welcome back to Good Humans Podcast, India Robinson. How you going, India?
I'm very good. Thanks for having me back on. Nice. Straight into an arepa.
They've
been sending me heaps.
Oh, they have?
Yeah.
Oh, how good's that?
And then I saw, yeah, like one of my specialists was like, you need to get onto this supplement, and I like looked at it, I'm like, hang on, these are the drinks I drink.
No way.
Yeah, they're the arepa ones. I'm like, So even the brain specialists are onto it. So.
Wow. Well, there you go. Cheers to it. I'll give you a little cheers. Wrap of cheers to supporting our brains. But we caught up your episode 76, I believe, on Good Humans podcast. And you sent me a message last week going, hey, bunch of stuff's happened. Can I jump back on? And I was like, absolutely, because you've had a pretty wild last, let's call it 6 to 8 months. You won the Challenger Series, which is a huge, huge accomplishment. And I didn't even know this, but off air, you told me you had another brain injury right before it. So how we're going to do this chat today is I'm going to let you give us maybe a little bit of a highlight of a bit of background of your career for people who are listening to this episode for the first time and haven't listened to your other one. And then we're just going to get into the last 12 months because I know there's been plenty of ups and downs. You've taken out the Challenger Series. You won some major events. But yeah, a lot of juggling going on with your mental health, with your physical health, trying to get back to where you want to be, which is on that world tour, which you're going to Hawaii in a couple of days while we're recording this. So exciting times. But yeah, we're just going to see where this chat takes us. But the first thing I open with always is, what are you grateful for right now in life?
I am grateful for my health, and I think I've learnt that over the past 12 months that, health can take me a long way, so I'm doing everything I can to look after that at the moment.
Yeah, I bet, and it's, it's crazy when you have an injury like yours, it's not really visible.
Yeah.
It's like hard for people around you to understand, but yeah, I can imagine it's just been such a juggle for you getting your health. Like, what, you're 23 now?
Yeah, 23, yeah.
You're so young, you got so much career, and being an athlete, your health. Your health is everything for everyone. But when you're an athlete, you can't perform at the level you need to without good health. And, yeah, you've had quite the journey, but you're still at the top of your game, which is just incredible. So maybe let's rewind back to the last chat we spoke about. You qualified for the World Tour, your biggest goal ever, but in that qualifying year, you had your first brain injury. Do you want to tell me about the first time? Let's just talk about, like, the few brain injuries you've had.
Yeah.
As just to, like, catch back up everyone who's missed out on your journey so far.
Yeah, so in 2021, that was the year that the Challenger Series kind of was evolved, and we were getting ready to go for a 3-month stint of competitions, and that's when I had my first concussion, and that was a 6 to 8 week rehab process, a lot of lonely, dark room time, and not many people around me knew how to deal with it at that time, so it was kind of a learn-as-we-go type thing, and I definitely didn't do all the right things, so it prolonged the healing process. And then I went off to the events after I'd been cleared, and then in Hawaii in that same year, end of 2021, just before qualifying, same injury, I got concussed again while surfing backdoor, and it was a shot to the temple. And again, I was in a situation where I had to compete because my dream to be on tour was on the line, so I chose to compete in that event, and I qualified for the World Tour, and it was a dream come true.
You had the crazy Hallie Eva event and got to the tour.
Yeah, so that's where it all kind of came true, but in that moment I only had a 3-4 week turnaround until the World Tour event started at Pipe, and I wasn't in a good way, so I came home, and that's where I saw the specialists and tried to get as much done as I could, but realistically they said to me I wasn't ready to be competing, and it was my own decision to then go to those events and compete. So then I developed post-concussion syndrome, and was competing on tour, dealing with it, not really, but I was just fighting my way through it. Like, each event was just like, get to the next one, make the cut, and then we'll deal with it. And I didn't make the cut and was sent back to the Challenger Series, but decided that, after two events, my body was starting to really shut down on me, and mentally just wasn't there.
What's post-concussion syndrome compared to a concussion? Well, so that's if you don't take care of a concussion, it turns into a longer-term thing. Because I think this is a good one for anyone listening who might just get a head knock, who feels a bit, what are the symptoms of a concussion, and then what's the difference between post-concussion syndrome?
Yeah, well, that's the hard bit, is because the symptoms are still very similar to the symptoms you get when you are first concussed. It's pretty much just a prolonged process of that because you haven't dealt with the initial concussion at the first part. So for me, putting my brain under so much more stress whilst it's still trying to recover from the initial injury itself, that just led to all of the symptoms staying with me for a really long time. So, initially if you get concussed, you'll feel you've got a headache, a bit of pressure in the head. Some people feel off balanced or fatigued or for me, it was a lot of vestibular, ocular stuff, like my eyes. And for me, yeah, I just haven't been able to fully recover from those symptoms. So, yeah, when they were like, this could develop into post-concussion syndrome, I kind of was like, I don't know what that is, but I'll deal with it if I have to. And then now being in the situation where I have had to deal with it, I can say that, yeah, feeling like you're concussed 24/7 for a year straight is one of the worst things in the world because you just don't feel like yourself at all.
Do you look back and regret any of the decisions you made with the concussion protocols, as in like going back and competing? Obviously, in the time, the whole like competing on the world tour is like, but now you're back on tour. Do you look back and go, oh,
yeah.
Is that, I don't know whether you want to talk about it or not. It's just like an interesting one because I feel like someone might be in that situation right now where they're making this decision because it's a dream, but there's still a lot more life ahead of you after a dream that you're still chasing and still kicking now.
Exactly. And I think it's hard because I don't regret my time on tour and having that experience, but I do regret not listening to some of the advice I was being told, and I was just being so stubborn. Like, I just wasn't listening to anyone and any advice I was being given. I just was
selectively choosing the stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
The positive feedback.
Yeah, I was like, if you're telling me I can't do it, I'm hearing that as like, okay, you shouldn't do this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for me, I was just so hell-bent on I'm going to compete and I'm just going to deal with it later. But I just didn't know enough about it, and that's definitely one of my regrets, is not learning more and not studying more to try and manage it better and deal with it better. Even though I was competing at the time, I could have been doing things to still help my recovery.
Now you know what you know, where would you point someone in the direction if they have a kid who's got a concussion, themselves have a concussion, to educate themselves on the best protocols to take?
Yeah, I think the first step is just going to a doctor and getting clear, like going to them and being diagnosed with
GP
a concussion.
To start.
Yeah, a GP to start. Just someone that can tell you, yes, it is a concussion, run you through the baseline testing, and then they can track your progress. Because I think still the stigma around the concussion stuff is that you have to be knocked out or it has to be something really big. But honestly, for me, like, my knocks weren't that big, but they were enough for my brain to move inside my skull and do the damage it did. So I think the first step is like, just be overly cautious.
Okay.
Do the stuff to check that it, and sure, you might go in and they say it's not, that's the best case. But if you go, okay, I'm probably not, then you'll keep going, and
like
then
what
you'll
did
crash.
A few weeks of trying to train on the bike,
yes.
And you're like, oh,
no, you'll try and push through, and then you'll crash, and then you've got a 6 to 8 week process of trying to build up. But if you do it right from the start, it can be a week to 2 weeks, okay. And then you're back to normal. So again, it's different for everyone, but if you can just be on the front foot with it, it'll definitely save you a lot of hard yards down the line.
So then you fall off tour. This is kind of catching up to where we last left off on the podcast about 18 months ago.
Yeah.
You do Snapper, feeling average. You do Manly, feeling average. I'm not going to go to Bolita. I need to get myself better. And you meet what's his name, the specialist?
Brett Jarros.
Brett Jarros, who's down in Melbourne?
Down in Melbourne, yeah.
Yeah, who's the same guy that Owen Wright and Tyler Wright and a few other from reading the book, he works with a bunch of football players and stuff too, right? Yeah. So he knows what he's talking about.
He knows what he's talking about.
That was kind of where we left it off, that you're like, yep, I'm going to be doing stuff with him. And actually, the last time we spoke, you were just about to leave for Haleiwa because you'd had 3 or 4 months of improving, and you're like, I'm going to go test myself.
Yeah.
Was that a good idea to go to Haleiwa and test yourself?
Yeah, I was at a point where my recovery was in a good place and I was able to surf twice a day and my heart rate wasn't affecting me so much if it was going into a higher range. So they said that I could go and that I could see how I would handle the pressure of being in a competition state. And it was definitely a really good warm up to return to competition, I'd say. And again, I love Hawaii and surfing in those waves. So it was good to go back to that place and also just kind of shake off the nerves of where I did my last injury there. And I was nervous, but to just kind of dust it off and just be like, okay, no, I still really want to do this and I want to get healthier and even better so that I can be back on tour.
Yeah, wow. Last Haleiwa comp too.
Yeah. I know.
Can the next year. All right.
Devo.
It's the best comp ever, that comp. So you did that. That's the end of 2022. Let's talk about 2023.
Yeah.
Ups and downs, many ups and downs from, yeah. I thought it was all ups from watching from the outside in. Once yes. again, exactly like last time we sat down, I was yeah. alongside you doing the tour the last time we sat down.
Yeah.
And I didn't know. This time I just saw that you're winning comps, you're first in the world on the Challenger Series. It all looks like everything's back on track, but speaking off air, it wasn't. So let's talk about those first couple months of 2023 last year. What that was like for you, what the recovery looked like, what sort of training you were doing. Yeah, just talk me through what you needed to get done to get to back to your best.
Yeah, so pretty much as soon as I called it quits after Manly and decided to take that break, I was just 100% hell-bent on being the fittest, strongest and healthiest version of myself next time Snapper came around.
Yeah.
So I was so hard to work with because I was like, let's surf Snapper. And I was just like, every day I'm surfing Snapper. I'm training as much as I can. And I'm doing every part of my rehab process that I can to just be ready for Snapper. Like I was just adamant that I'm going to be the most prepared person in the world for that event.
And for anyone listening, Snapper is Snapper Rocks, one of the best surf locations in the world. And it's the first event on the World Challenger Series, which is on the Gold Coast in May. Yes. So it would have been in May 23.
Yes.
So you've come home from Hawaii the end of 22.
Yep.
You've got January till May to get ready for Snapper. Yep. Yeah. What did those 4 months look like?
So, yeah, those 4 months literally looked like every single day would be I'd wake up, I'd go for a surf with my coach, I'd then come to the gym, I'd go through my rehab program from Brett, do all the neuro stuff I had to do, gym.
What does that look like? What's in the neuro stuff?
It's very different. Yeah, he's really, really thorough with how he works. And a lot of it is to do with the nervous system as well, because when you get the head injury, it winds up your nervous system. And so I go down and see him and we do 2 hours worth of testing. So he gets to know every inch of what's working and what's not.
And what's the testing, like eye tests and stuff? You're saying you still can't read without.
Yeah. Yes. So, he has these goggles that he'd put on your eyes and then he'd track what your eyes are doing whilst trying to do tasks. Same thing with a computer. He'll get you to focus on a target. And then we look back and those computers have cameras in it that are watching your eyes and what they're doing. And then it shows you on a graph where you're supposed to be looking and where your eyes are actually looking. Or when we're moving side to side, are they going side to side or are they going up and down or are they flickering?
And that's a sign of that's brain processing.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So for me, one of the biggest things is like if I try to focus on target, we'd look back at all of the graphs and all of mine are like this. Yeah. Or if I'm just looking under it, like I just can't, my focus. Eyes don't have the ability to focus at the moment. So after doing all the testing, it's like, okay, your issue is that your eyes don't stay still. And that's leading into all of these other issues. So if we can fix that for you, the rest is going to be easy. Okay. So that's when he brings in all of this different style of stuff that's, sometimes it's twisting your body a certain way. There's another one that's like drawing this infinity symbol with your hand or with your leg as well, and then going through the process of like staring, like looking, and a few different other things that are very specific to what you need.
So interesting.
Yeah. After I've gone through all of my rehab stuff, I do gym, I go see. I think everyone was looking at me like I was crazy because I was just seeing every specialist I could, like, outside of physio, I was going to a chiropractor as well. And then I was going to a kinesiologist. I then started trying Chinese medicine as well, a bit of acupuncture.
How'd you find that?
I found it really good. My body responded to it really well. And again, like for me, I was just in a place where I was like, I've got to try everything because some things just aren't working. And I don't know if this will work, but I'm going to try just because I want to get better. So I was just focused. I was just like, everything I can do, I'm going to do it.
Nice.
And so it was just busy. Those first 4 months were just like I was just in this routine, just ticking over. And it was all just to be ready for Snapper.
And were you ready for Snapper? You were up until a few weeks before.
Yeah. I was the most prepared I've ever been mentally and physically. Like was just in such a different place and I'd finally overcome that. Yeah, I gave up those few months and missed out on a lot, but it was all to be prepared for this event. And then, I was just going for my daily surf out there and it was one of the cyclone swells that we'd have. And you know how crowded it gets out Snapper with those cyclone swells. And it was just unfortunate. I saw this guy take off and he was a bit wobbly on his feet and he started to lean back and I was like, oh gosh. And he was a big boy with a big board. And I was like, oh no. And then I started to like paddle as fast as I could a wide, but then he just kicked it out. So I tried my best to get under it. But whilst I was underwater, it just completely smashed on my head. And I like came up and I was just like, no, this can't be like, this is not happening. Like there's no way that this is happening. And I just remember going like, fuck. And then I saw blood and I was like, where's my friend? Like I was surfing with Piper at the time. And I was just like, I don't know what's happening, but this isn't good. This isn't good. And I started to like really freak out because I was, you know, going to the worst places. And then I like took a deep breath and I was like, no, it's fine. Like I'm going to be fine. Like there's no way. And I was paddling and I was just trying to find her. And I was like really, really like slow at this point. And then I like paddled past Kelly and he gave me like a really weird look, Kelly Slater. And it was just like, and then all of these people just kept staring at me. And like, I didn't know, but I had this like, cause the board smashed on my head and the fiberglass broke, it like left this weird semicircle like cuts on my forehead. And I had no idea that that's what it looked like. But then I got to my friend and she just was like, cause I saw her and I was like, just tapping my head. I'm like, we need to go in. And then she like saw it and she couldn't help but laugh. She's like, I'm so sorry. Like I feel so bad, but it looks like you've been attacked by like a wobbegong or something. Oh. And I was like, it was good in that moment. Like I needed to be like lifted up a little bit. And so, I was like, oh, this is like not good. This is really not good. And I got back to the car and I just instantly sent a photo to the physio at Surfing Oz because he's been so amazing with all of my head stuff.
And, with
Pauly. Yeah. And so sent him a photo and I was just like, I just wrote, fuck, like full stop. I was just like, fuck, what do I do? And then, he like instantly messaged and then rang, like, are you okay? Like, how are you feeling? I'm like, I don't know. Like,
how did it compare to your other ones?
It really rocked me because it was very front on, but it was a lot of neck and jaw because of the force. It just whipped my neck back and my teeth just like clunked. So it was like this level of force that all just shot up, whereas the other ones were like temple impacts that just like whipped me sideways, but like very straight on. So it was very different in that sense that it was like a lot of neck and jaw. So that kind of, I was like, oh, maybe this is something that I can deal with better because I don't know if it's going to be just whiplash. Like maybe it's just that. I instantly knew it wasn't good. And
this is 2 weeks out from the big event that you've trained 8 months for after taking time off and having a hard year and a half from head injuries. Fuck.
Yeah. So it was pretty much just for me in that moment, I was just like, I've just blown that 8 months of work in one surf. How have I managed to just. Fault, yeah. Or... And I was like, I shouldn't have surfed this day. And then you go through all of those thoughts of like, what should I have done? Should I have done this? And I was just like, this was out of my control. Yeah. Like, I couldn't have avoided this. And I did go through all of the like why me, like why again. I think I've learned all that I had to learn from the other two.
Yeah.
But then I had to deal with it and I was FaceTiming my mum and family and stuff and they were just like, no, you're fine. You're going to be fine. And like they were, she like my mum was so delusional. She was just like, I'm not.
In denial.
Yeah, she just didn't want to believe it. And at that point, I'd already come to terms with like, okay, I think this is another one and I'm going to have to figure out a way to cope with it. Yeah. But she was like, no, you're fine. Like, you're going to be so fine. And she was so in denial. She just didn't want to believe it because they've already seen me deal with it for a year and a half.
So what happened? What did those next 2 weeks look like? How did you get ready for Snapper?
It was a very short time frame. The docs got brought into it, the doctors, and they did the testing and I saw him weekly and was just seeing like maybe this will be a quick recovery because I'm doing all the right things. So I just stopped surfing, instantly was just like, dark rooms. I'm going to do dark room thing, I'm going to ride the bike, I'm going to get my Yeah, get on the arepas. Get my heart rate slowly ticking over, bring oxygen to the brain and just like do nothing else.
What about hyperbaric chambers or anything? Do you ever do anything?
I haven't actually ventured into the hyperbaric chambers, but I've heard really good things from them.
Introduce you to the crew down at Riggs.
Yeah.
I'm about to leave, but
yeah, good for you. Yeah, I have heard really good things. Yeah. So that's another
thing. I haven't done it before, but I've heard it's really good for like jet lag and oxygenation. Oxygen, so when you said oxygenation.
Yeah, my specialist also mentioned that. Okay. So yeah, that's something I should dive into.
So, yeah, 2-week protocol.
Yeah.
What's
so
it look like?
It looks like pretty much don't do anything. Like, obviously, first things, like no surfing.
Yeah.
But from the other two, I've learned that I still need to be doing things to recover.
Yeah.
So that still looked like, okay, I'm going to go do my cardio slowly, but do what I have to do. I'm going to do the eye exercises. I'm going to see all of the physios and the chiros and everything I can. And, for me, the kinesiologist I use, she was really, really crucial in helping me. She's, again, like another avenue that's completely different.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it would work for everyone, but for me and how my body was feeling in that moment, she was someone that was able to really help me, like, calm down. Like, my nervous system was, like, shot. I was, like, my adrenal fatigue and like everything was just like hanging on by a thread because I was so anxious about competing and if I was going to be allowed to compete. And so I did everything I could in those 2 weeks to just be like, get cleared. Like, I'm just going to try and get cleared. But I again went to the doctor before Snapper and it was like 4 days before the event was supposed to start. And I went to him. And I knew that I probably wasn't going to be surfing the first day because I was seated. So I was like, okay, I've still got like another 5 days up my sleeve. Do you think you'll be able to clear me in that time? And he was just like blatantly, no, just like, no, no chance. And I was like, okay, well, I'm still going to compete. And he was like, no.
Like, what doctor is this? Like a GP?
So this is the sports doctor. So this is like a GP that
puts you onto more specialized sports injury doctor.
But he's the one that has to give you clearance.
To
if anyone's in a sport organization, they have to be cleared in order to compete if it's part of an organization. Yeah. But because it is
under WSL's insurances and everything.
Well, he's outside of WSL. So at this point, WSL didn't know.
Okay.
And I chose to keep that from them because concussions are so hard to navigate. And I feel like the way that some medical professionals approach it is very black and white.
They just like try and make sure like
they'll play it very, very
they'll play
safe.
It very safe. Yeah.
But only looking at the physical aspect. So he'll look at my symptoms and he'll look at the tests that I've done and he'll go, okay, no, like you haven't passed this test and you haven't cleared with none of these symptoms. But for me, I was looking at him going, but I've had these symptoms for 12 months.
Yeah.
Like my eyes, they have never recovered fully.
Yeah, wow.
So like the symptoms I'm saying I've had them for a long time. So in my mind, I was going, you don't know enough.
It's actually not that much. It's not worse than I really
exactly.
was.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So I was going, you don't know enough about me and my situation, so you can't tell me.
What about Brett in Melbourne? What is he saying?
Brett is very much just like, we're going to do what we can to help you
get
better.
You can, yeah.
Yeah. So he's all about like, you can
recovery.
Still perform whilst
going
nursing
recovery,
it and
doing
the right things in between.
Yeah.
The other professionals are just like clear, just like no. And so I walked out of there and I was really angry. One of the other, like Michelle, I've spoke about her, Michelle so
just
well.
Been on the podcast.
Yeah. She's the one that drove me up to the appointment and I came out and I swear I was so red and I was so angry. Like I wasn't upset. I was just angry.
After the guy said, you know.
Yeah. But not because he said no, because I expected that, but because of the process that it went about was just like, you're not asking me the right questions and you're not seeing it from my point of view. I'm like, dude, I've just gave up 8 months of it to get better. to be ready for this event. And if you tell me I can't do it.
It's like if you went to that doctor though without that recent head knock, he might have still not cleared you based on your like ongoing concussion symptoms anyway. So
yeah, that's where it was really blurry to me, and that's what made me angry. So I rang Paulie again and I was like, Paulie, you need to talk to him. You need to explain that I've had these symptoms and that they can't be the decision maker for me and this and that. And then I walked out of it and I was just like fuming. I was like, you got everyone can just get stuffed. Yeah. Like I'm competing in this event because I don't know what I'm going to do if
I don't. How did you feel? Obviously, we'll talk about mentally in a second, but physically, how much worse did you feel than before the last, before that head knock? Did you feel like you stepped way back?
I went straight back down to the bottom. Like physically, I knew I was like in a bad way. Like I was doing 20 minutes of exercise a day and that was it. Like I couldn't do any longer than that. Wow. So I was working with the specialist just to get up to 30. I would see her and she's like, you've got no access to any energy because there's none there.
Mm.
And I was like, well, you need to give me just like help me get a little bit. And she's like, okay, we're just going to try and get you up to being able to just perform at a 30 minute mark because that's how long the heats are.
And talk me through your mental, because it's something we touched on briefly off air.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Good Human Factory, what I do is really mental health based.
Yeah.
You said you were super angry. What's going through your head here? It's like you're a young woman who's got the world at her feet. You've worked so hard for something, been so set back, worked so hard again, and then you get that setback. How's your mental health through here?
Yeah, I think for me, my first emotion that always bubbles up first is anger. But then when that stripped back, it was just like I was so scared and so worried that I would get really, really sad, or like I've dealt with depression for years, so I knew that this was going to be something that would bring me down a level and I didn't know if I'd be able to cope with it. So I was just like, someone needs to, I really lent on my support in that moment.
Hope and some help.
Yeah, I couldn't do it on my own.
We've seen Jace and doing a lot of stuff with psychologists.
So I've worked with Jace for like 8-10 years or whatever. So he knows me like the back of my hand, and he's someone that can just look at me and know what I'm like, what's going through my head. Because again, I'm probably someone that's not good at telling people what I'm going through or how hard it really is.
It's really hard to communicate it.
Yeah. So
especially when it's a new feeling and it's a new challenging situation.
Yeah. And I wanted someone to just be like, all right, India, we're going to try and help you navigate it. And I was so lucky that my coach decided to like sit down. He's like, well, you're saying you're going to compete. I want to support you and make sure that you compete in like a healthy way. The
healthiest way.
Yeah. Possibly. So he was like, let's figure out a plan that you follow so strictly. Like it was pretty much like signing a contract.
He's you don't
like,
have to think. All you got to do is paddle out, just surf.
Yeah. I was like, okay, I've got 30 minutes of energy in me. That's it. And he's like, okay. And I was like, driving's going to use that 30 minutes of energy. I can't do the drive. He's like, okay, cool. We're going to get someone to pick you up and drop you home. I'm like, sweet. So if someone comes, gets me from my house, drives me to the beach, and then I pretty much, they all take my stuff to the beach for me. I just walk onto the beach.
Bottle watch the surf and just told you what waves to catch.
Yeah,
and you just
have to follow those orders. I sit down in the shade with like my glasses, like hat, just incognito, just like, and I sit down and I'm like, okay, so like, where are the best waves? And he's like, okay, so there's probably the best up here and then some down here. And like, I was like, okay, that's all I can take. Like no more, like stop. That's all I can take. And someone would run up and get my rashi for me and bring it down. And I'd like just put my rashi on and pretty much just go, okay, I've got 30 minutes. Let's use this 30 minutes.
Did the WSL know about the brain injury?
Nah.
Did you do any post-heat interviews?
Very, very short ones. Mm-hmm. Like someone would come with me and they'd look at me and be like, I'm like, oh, sorry, I've got to go.
Okay.
And then like, I'd just like.
There's plenty of heat wins because I'm not going to ruin the story, but we're about to hear you winning the event. So day one, surfed your first heat. How'd that go?
Well, the first heat went pretty good. I was in a heat with my best friend, Soph McCulloch, and we both got first and second in that one. But it was the weirdest feeling. Like I paddled out there And everything just went out the window. Like, I just didn't know what was going on, but...
Did adrenaline kick in and you felt okay once you were out there for your heat, or you were still just a bit...
I knew I could, like, once I stood up on the wave, I was like, yeah, I can surf.
Yeah.
And I was like, India, you've done 6 months of prep out at this surf just break. Like, you know what to do. Just trust yourself. And so I was literally just going, okay, this wave looks good. I'm going to go this wave and then just surf. And then I was like, okay, cool. Got through that heat. I came in and my coach said, India, you're surfing this afternoon. And you should see my face. I just went, fuck, I can't do it. And he was like, well, yeah, you'll be like one of the last heats at the end of today. And I was like, what am I going to do? I only had 30 minutes in me. Like, that's what we were working towards. I didn't even think about surfing back-to-back heats. And so I came in and I was just like, I was so rattled. He was like, quick, the car's there, like hop in the car, they're going to drive you home again. And I'm like, fuck, I have to try and regroup for this afternoon. And then they drove me home and I was just like, okay, don't do anything. Like, just lay on this bed, don't do anything, listen to some music and just chill out. And then I was calling my kinesiologist and I was like, what can I do to like quickly bring some energy into my body? And she was like, okay, I want you to go through this. And so she gave me some stuff. Might be a complete placebo effect, but for me, I was like, I'm just going to do everything she says.
What sort of stuff was she saying?
It was like rubbing certain pressure points and connecting like one of the pressure points from my back to like my brain stem and like rubbing them at the same time. So, and then there was like my cross coordinations were out. So I was jumping on like from one side to the other and making sure they were intact and just little things like that. But it was enough to like trick me or help me in order to just like turn up in the afternoon and then surf another heat. But again, I just got dropped off and was like, he was like, okay, don't worry about there, just go straight here. And I was like, cool. And it was a man on man heat this time, so it was just two girls out there. It was just me and one other girl, and it was pumping. It was like,
yeah, it's a really good
the idea. Waves were really good, like the best snapper. And I was just like, this is cool. And then I started to see the sun go down and I was like, oh, it's a blessing, because I struggle a lot with sunlight and the glare. So as soon as the sun went down, I was like, oh, I feel like I've got all the energy in the world now. So it just like, it was something little, but it was positive enough to make me go, cool, I'm ready to go. And then again, I just paddled out and was so at peace, because I was just like, all I have in me is the only option I have is to just trust.
Yeah.
So I just trusted completely that I could just surf.
And you won that one?
Won that one. And then went into the quarterfinals again the next day. I just got dropped off and the waves were still absolutely pumping. And another woman on woman heat against Sarah Bourne this time. And I knew she's like very, she likes to hassle a bit at the start. She wants to have the inside. And I was like, oh, I'm not going to waste all of my energy on that, but like, I'll just follow you around a bit and try to make like make the best decision I can make. And yeah, so we played the game at the start and I was just like, again, I was just so at peace. I was just so calm and I was just looking at waves and just going, nah, yep, okay. And I just would go, and then made it through that heat the next day.
You knew you were going to have to surf twice.
I knew I was going to, yeah, it was the finals day and I was matched up against Steph. So I knew it was
redemption. It was the last episode you kept getting beat by bloody
exactly.
Steph.
So it was a big heat and I was like, oh, Steph be
snapper in the semifinals.
Waves are pumping. This is Steph's home break. This is her bread and butter. Like, she's the best to ever
But at
do
this
it.
Stage, you're like, you know what? Amazing. I made the semifinals with this injury. I've got a good start to my campaign. I can rest.
Fully.
Anything else is a bonus.
Yeah.
I was just that heat with Steph.
I was just stoked to be there. So I was just like, oh, this is cool. Like, the waves are pumping and I've got a heat against Steph. Like, we'll just see what happens.
Oh, how good is that? Can the surf snapper against Steph Gilmore. Coming back from the injury, it just reminds me so much of Owen Wright. And I, once again, I was telling you this off air. Owen's a friend of both of ours, and I just read his book, which he said you can't read because of your eyes, which is just crazy that you can't even read like for years. That would drive me crazy.
Yeah.
But his book, he literally has strangely almost a carbon copy of the story you're telling right now. Yeah, it's like weird. You're going to one day read it or have someone read it to you and be like, that's like weird how similar the story is when he came back and won Snapper on the world tour after his brain injury.
Yeah.
So yeah, tell me about that heat with Steph.
Yeah. So I think it was honestly like a blessing in disguise because
it's pretty stormy on the final day. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, it was cloudy. It was a little bit moody, but I was in that instance, I would normally be really nervous and I'd be thinking about strategical ways that I could beat Steph and like, oh, she's better at this, so I'm going to do this and then judges. And like, I'd go into depth, but this time around, I was like, all I can do is just trust that I've done enough and that the preparation is done and that I'm just going to surf how I surf. And
did Steph or any of the other girls know about the injury that you'd had 2 weeks before?
No, not. It was pretty private again. It was very private, only because it, again, if WSL did get wind of it, it could have been an issue. And it was something I was like, oh, I'm not going to really talk about it. But yeah, so I went out in that heat with Steph and it was just the same thing. Like I've never experienced it in my whole surfing career where I've gone into a heat just like at ease. Like normally I'm all over the shop and I'm like trying to figure out ways how to calm down and like do the breathing. And this time around it was just like, okay, I'm gonna wait for a wave. And I was just sitting next to her. We were like up behind the rock at this point. And this wave comes through and I like look at it and I go, not going that wave. And she went it. And I was like, oh, that was a weird wave to go. And then there was another wave and I was like, cool. And then I went the wave and I started off really strong in that heat.
What'd you get? 9?
I think it was like a 6.8 or a 7. Yeah. And I was like, oh, this is a good start. Game, like from up the top where there wasn't that many waves, this is good. And to put a bit of pressure on Steph, like that's good. So then we played the game and we both went down and I don't know. I just was just really in tune with what was happening in the ocean and was just giving myself opportunity. And I ended up beating her and it was like the coolest feeling because I was just like.
Is that the first time you've beaten her?
The second, I think. But after she the prior year, when she knocked me off tour, I was like, this one feels good to beat her at her at home break.
She beat you at your home break the year before.
I was like, was this, nice. This is good.
How good did that hug when you saw her after feel?
I was like, I deserve that one, Steph. Thank you. but, yeah, I came in and I was just like, whoa, okay, I'm in the final now. And it was just like, it was like the last 4 days hadn't happened. It was just like I just transported into the final. It was just like a blur.
Who did you have in the final?
Then I went up against Sawyer. Lynn Blad, so the young Californian girl with a really good backhand. And yeah, I just went into that final again, just sent out the Rashion just going, I'm just going to do the same thing. I'm just going to try and catch two waves and surf.
Mm.
And then, yeah, it was a closer final that won it. Like it was, we both had, I think I had 2 sixes and she had a 6 and a 5. And then I kind of started to chip away and then I got a good wave at the end and got like a 7 or an 8 and just put enough pressure on her to just to take it out. And then coming into my whole support network on the beach and everyone that got me to that point was like unbelievable. I was just sitting there going, holy crap, what have we done? Like, how have we got here?
Wow.
And seeing like my coach was in tears, like everyone was just in tears because they were like,
they knew what's been going on.
They knew how big it was for me, but they also had the pressure of dealing with me and the risks that I was putting on myself. Like they knew that it was
a
risky situation, but they supported me through it. And we got through it in a way that it didn't send me far back in my recovery. Like it postponed it, like it put it on hold, but it didn't send me backwards.
Mm-hmm.
But mentally I was so much further forwards.
Yeah, because you're stoked and happy. And
How
was like after the presentation and stuff? Were you just energy zapped, just a zombie, or were you just on such a high because of the winning your biggest event ever?
I think like as like my best mates, like Sal and Soph were cheering me up, I was just going like, you can even see it in the photo. I was just like, what is going on? Like, what the hell? And then I was just like, oh my God, I'm so wrecked. Like, I don't really want to do the prezzo. And then I did the presentation, was standing there. It was really sunny. And I was just like, oh my God, like, come on, Joey, like wrap it up. But as soon as like I got given the trophy, then I got like a little kick again. And I was like, oh my God. And like, I lifted it above my head and everyone was looking at me like, don't you dare drop that thing.
Oh, yeah,
not on your head. And I was like, woo. And then I like dropped it and then I was just like put it on the ground. I was like, okay, someone get me home. Yeah. So I just hopped in the car and just like collapsed and like just went home to my studio. I live alone and everything, and just I got dropped off and I was just like, well, this is anticlimactic. Yeah, and just hopped into bed, like still in my bathers and everything. It was just like, my mum FaceTimed and my eyes looked like bloodshot. Everything was just like, could barely hold the phone. I'm like, she's like, what are you doing for dinner? And I'm like, oh, I can't, I can't be bothered. I'm done. And then just curled up and it's like, whoa.
Had the best night's sleep of your life, probably.
I was just, it was a blur.
Did you wake up the next day and feel like it was a dream the last week?
Yeah, but it was like, it was, I didn't feel like I didn't really have the chance to appreciate how amazing that moment was. Like at the end of 2023, I would like look back and was like, wow, that was really special. But in the moment, I was still stuck in the
two weeks post concussion. Yeah. Like 3 weeks post concussion.
And the next event was in like 2 days' time. So yeah, I was like, wow. Well,
where's the next one, Manly?
Yeah. Narrabeen. Yeah. Your local. So yeah, it was a quick turnaround and it was, we were like back to the same spot of like
doing the same
thing. Can she go to this event or can she not? And then it was like back to the drawing board, speaking to everyone, going, what am I supposed to do here? Like, it's an event in Australia. If I'm going to do an event, this is the one to do.
You've won the first event. You're like in a position to qualify. Like, winning an event for anyone listening is like a huge leg up to get to the world tour, especially, I mean, not especially in the women, but with like smaller spots. Like, it's so important to win events to get in.
Mm.
And you, won the first event of the year. But you're carrying this injury and you're probably getting people telling you take an event or two off and then just come back and finish strong. Like,
yeah.
But you did bloody good in every event you did. So talk me through Narrabeen.
Yeah. So Narrabeen, I kind of sat down with everyone and was like, you know what? I think I could go to Narrabeen.
I think I'm doing all right. I won the last event.
I was like, I started off strong. If I could just go and make a few heats, like that would set me up well to skip potentially the next one.
Yeah.
So I was like, Oz, it's it's easy. Like all of the next ones are overseas. It's going to be a mission. So maybe I should do Narrabeen. Sorry. If I should do Narrabeen, I'll have my friend that's going to be driving me. Like it's the same situation. I'll have all of the support from Surfing Australia there. So I can lean on you guys. Whereas overseas, I won't have that.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I'm going to go to Narrabeen. But it was the same situation where I was like, I'm not free surfing. So there was no morning free surfs or anything. It was literally just rock up. I'm going to surf my heat, go home. And so, yeah, my best friend was amazing at that time. She would, like, drive me and she'd, like, bring me home. No, this is Soph McCulloch. Oh, yeah, so, yeah, on tour she's like my mum. She would, like, bring me home. She's like, okay, I'm going to drop you now and I'm going to go for another surf. And then I'll pick up dinner, and then so she was like, she was so cute.
She qualified,
No, she fell off at the camp. She had an injury before, so she was with the syndesmosis, So it was injuries. We have parallel rookie year stories as well. So
I'll have to get her on for a chat. So she's epic.
She's amazing. So Narrabeen. I ended up getting third, but
just for everyone listening, getting third in that event, I did 10 years. On the same tour that she's talking about, over 100 events, and the best I ever did was a fifth.
Yeah.
So to win and get a third back-to-back with the injury you've got, I mean, you are far better than me, but it is very tough to get to the very pointy end of these events. There's, 96 men, 64 women to get in the top three carrying an injury like this.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah. Narrabeen was definitely more of a challenge because at least with Snapper I had the 6 months of prep. Whereas Narrabeen, I was going into it completely blind, like going, okay, I have no idea what I'm going to be doing out here, but I'm just going to trust my, I'm just going to trust my instinct again because that worked last time. So I just kind of ran with it. But when it got to the finals day, I surfed my quarterfinal heat and beat Erin Brooks. And then I was going up in the semifinals later that afternoon against Isabella and, it's the wind changed, this storm came through, the waves were tiny, and then it's just started like howling and swirling. And when I was out there, and it was like my body got overstimulated and my brain just went into like, you're done. And so it just like switched off, and I was out there, and me and Bella are really good friends, and we're kind of just looking at each other like, oh, well, this is unfortunate that like
the conditions
have changed like this. But I just completely zoned out and I was just staring out to sea, and she just like paddled off, and then she ended up getting like a score. And then I like looked and I was like, how'd you get over there? And then I was just like, crap, like I'm supposed to be surfing. And then there was like 10 minutes to go, and I was like, I could feel it. Like my body was like, you've had enough. So then I like, I paddled up to her and I'm like, I'm not standing up on another wave. Like, congrats. And she's like, no, you've got it. Like, look at this wave. And I was like, no, I'm done. Like, I'm really, really done. And she was like, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm okay, but like, I've reached the limit with this one. Nice, like, awesome. I've got to call it. And then I came in and my coach was just there like, what happened there? And I was like, it was too much. The wind, the sun, everything. It was too much. She was like, oh, crap, you look shit. And then he was like, okay, you've done amazing. Like,
yeah, first and a third. You're on your way to pretty much qualifying. Like you need a couple more heats and you're almost gone.
He was like, take a step back, India. Like, you weren't even supposed to compete. You get
over 20,000 points and you're only at like 16 already.
Yeah. So I'd already overtaken what I did when I did qualify. I was already past that. And I was like, well, this is a good start. And so I was like, cool. And then we had a bit of a break. So I was like, okay, this is like the stars are aligning. Like, I've got a bit of time to recover. Surely it's not going to be as long as last time because I'm doing all the right things in the recovery space. And so, yeah, then I just went into like, okay, I've got a month before the next one. But in the back of my mind was like, oh, I think I might have to skip Bolido. But I was also like, oh, but if I go to Bolido, I could potentially qualify and then skip all the rest. Yeah. And it was just like this juggling act. Like,
how hard was that?
That was the lowest part of my whole year and my recovery, was making that decision, not to go to Bolido, because I knew in the back of my mind that I could go to it and do well again. And
so then, you didn't go to Bolido?
No. I left it very last minute. I got sent to Newcastle to see a neuropsych. So they do a lot of testing on how you function with your memory and the different types of cognitive stuff. And then my doctors and stuff got the report back, were like, this isn't good. And so that was again another kick in the guts of like, okay, well, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. And I need to prioritize a bit of my health.
Yeah. Another event or two to get the results.
So they like sat me down again, and I feel like it was just constantly like everyone's just sitting me down going, India, like, I think you need to do this. But this time around they were like, we have given you so much leniency with your health and what you're doing. This time around,
you've got the results. Yeah. You can have this extra couple of weeks off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This time around they were just like ring me going, nah. Yeah. Like, I can't watch you keep doing this to yourself. Stop it.
Planes as well. South Africa's a long
trip. It's a long travel. So they were like, if we weigh everything up, this is the one to skip.
Yeah.
And then I broke down completely. Like, that was like such a hard time for me. And I think I was just stuck in a bubble of like, is it all going to be ripped away from me again? Mm. Like, am I just never going to recover? Am I never going to be able to do it?
And do you have the fear every time you go in surfing? Don't hit your head, don't hit your head, don't hit your head. Yeah, so you're not surfing it probably 100% either. Well, obviously not surfing at 100%, but then also not surfing with confidence at 100%.
Like, yeah, I definitely just, at that point was like, I don't even want to surf. Like, I will happily go a month without surfing.
Strictly heat surf.
And just, and just turn up to the comp again. Like, I'm happy to do that if that's what it's going to take. Yeah. But, I was not in a good way. So, I was stuck. I made the decision not to go. And I was on the beach with, like, Bottle and Chelsea, and I was just in tears, like, bawling my eyes out, like, oh my God, I have to watch everyone go, and then I have to watch them do really well. And then
I'm going to be at the top of the rankings. You probably were still at the top after that event.
Oh, yeah, I don't know, actually.
So you sit Bolido out.
Yeah, I skip Bolido.
That's in South Africa for anyone listening.
Yeah, I had to do a lot of like mental psychology type of work through that bracket because I fell apart. And so we had to figure out a way to like rebuild so that I was mentally ready for the next competition as well as physically. The next event was America, so Huntington.
Yeah.
And Huntington I don't have the best relationship with, so I was like, oh, this is going to be, like, tricky. And they were like, if you skip this one, then you'll have to, like, you'll have the other two. Results. And I was like, but then I have to do really well.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'll go. And it was the same situation where I drove to the beach, like, was just still not really free surfing. 2 months later,
you weren't recovering that quickly.
No. Well, I couldn't get the progression in my recovery at the speed that most people would when they take the time out, but I kept, like, doing all of the things to maintain where I was at so I wouldn't keep going backwards.
Yeah.
And I think that's what got me through it, is because I was always like, I'm okay,
yeah,
but I'm obviously not going to be good, but I'm okay to get through it.
Yeah.
So I went into that event and I got a ninth there, and I was like, oh, that's not really a keeper result. Like, it's
with a first and a third, though, it is.
Yeah. It's a good, like, it's okay.
It's a good bottom backup result.
Yeah. I was like, it's okay. And then I was like, okay, whatever. Like, I probably wasn't even supposed to be at this event either. So just be grateful to be here. And so I was just like, okay, whatever. I'll go home, regroup, and do all of the stuff again, like reset, refocus. And I think we had like another month or 2 months maybe. And in that 2 months was like not surfing much, was just focusing on recovery and health and just doing all of the little things behind the scenes. And then
I'm gonna go to Portugal.
And go to Portugal again. I was fairly confident with that wave. Yeah. It suits my style of surfing. So I was going into it going like, okay, I should be able to get a result at this one.
Yeah.
And I decided to take my mum with me to that event just because I wasn't able to drive and I just needed to lean on someone. And so I I had her with me, which was really good. I worked with Richard Dogmarsh. So he was helping me on the coaching side of things and backed up that event with, got a third at Irisira.
Qualified?
No. So if I had have made that heat, made my semifinal, but I would pretty have been much confirmed.
Qualified.
Yeah, that I think I was pretty safe, but they didn't want to like release it in case. So I was going into Brazil going like, I didn't do the maths or anything. I was just like, I'm looking pretty good.
Brazil instead of Hawaii.
Yeah. So I was like, I've never been to Brazil, but again, I took my mug with me. It's really pretty.
But it's just a long way to go and a lot of stimulation.
Lots of people on the beach.
Different language, lots of people on the beach.
Very passionate.
Yeah, it's a tough spot to go in the mindset that I'm sure you're still in.
Yeah, well, I was still going there like, I've got to make heats. Like, I was like, I've still got to make heats. So at this point, I'm still doing all of the little things, trying to conserve energy and just manage all of the outside noise and turning off social media and stuff. Just like, I was in like a bubble.
Yeah.
I was just like, no one's coming in. Who went to
Brazil with you?
So I took my mum.
Again.
And then we had.
Well, that was straight from Portugal, eh?
Straight, back to back. So I had my mum there and we were in a house with Sophie McCulloch, Ellie Harrison and Nixie.
Nice.
So it was like, we're all like really good friends and we had like this really good vibe at the house. So it was good because I'd like be able to switch off with them and like have a fun, lighthearted.
Yeah.
And in the back of my mind, I'm going, oh, like if I make this next heat, am I qualified? And so I made my first heat and I was like, okay, I still haven't got confirmation. And then I made my second heat and I'm like, still haven't got confirmation. What the heck's going on?
Oh my God.
And me and the girls, we were all sitting down one day and the women's round was on and I'd already surfed and we were just watching and the heat in the water was, I think it was Sawyer Lindblad versus someone else. And me and the girls were just like having fun and I wasn't really listening because they kept talking about the scenarios on qualification and I didn't want to know because I had another heat to surf.
So
they were talking about it and then they said, if Sawyer Lindblad doesn't make this heat, then India will qualify.
Were you the first confirmed there?
No, Sally got confirmed in Portugal.
Ah.
Yeah.
Oh, but then you went on to do well in the event and jumped her.
Okay. Yeah. They said if Sawyer doesn't make it, India will qualify. And then we all just kind of looked at each other and I was like, oh, I didn't want to hear that because I'm not someone that's going to wish someone to lose. Yeah. I'm like, I want her to do well. Kid. And
Sawyer on the pod.
I was like, I really want her to do well. She's a sweet kid and she surfs amazing.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, but it would be nice to qualify. And so we were sitting there and then Nixie comes into the room and she's like watching the screen. She's like, oh, go Sawyer. And we're just looking at each other laughing because she has no idea what's going on. She's like, there's 10 seconds to go. And she's like, go, Sawyer, go this way. And we're just like, mm. And then after it, she's like, what's wrong with you guys? And she's like, oh, well, if Sawyer didn't make it, India would have qualified. And she's like, oh, my God.
So then Sawyer made it.
So Sawyer made it. And then I was like, okay, I've still got more work to do. Ended up making the quarter. I made my round of 16 heat.
Yeah.
So I qualified for the quarterfinals. Still hadn't had confirmation. And then at 7 p.m. at night, I'm cutting my vegetables and the phone rings. And one of the girls, because I'm cooking, they look and they're like, oh, it's Travis. And I was like, oh, you know, uh-oh. And then I was like, oh, I don't want to answer. Like, don't give it to me. I don't want to know if he's just giving me an update on, like, what the situation is or what I have to do. I don't want to know.
Sure, yeah. Like, I didn't know by then. You had a first, two-thirds, and you got a fifth, and you got five but results.
You know how count. You're like, oh, I don't want to, like,
no,
jinx it?
No, I
don't
know. I never got there. So, but no.
I just didn't want to jinx it. No, so I was like, oh, Soph, can you talk to him? And Soph picks it up, and she's like, hi, Travis. India doesn't want to speak to you unless it's good news. And he was like, it's good news, put her on. And then I answered it. And he was like, congratulations, you've officially qualified. And then, like, my mum was there as well. And she just, like, erupts. And all the girls are there. And I was like, oh, this is so special. Like, to have my mum there for that moment was really, really cool. And, yeah, something I'll hold in my heart forever because she wasn't there last time around. So she was like, I really just want to be there when you qualify. Yeah. And I was like, well, if I qualify, I hope you're there. And then, yeah, it all kind of unfolded. And
then you make that next heat. And then didn't just qualify. You won the bloody tour.
Yeah, so that I didn't expect. I thought after skipping the event, like in Bolito, I thought there's no way I'd be able to win the series.
But they take
like
5 out of 6 events, yeah?
Yeah.
And you did 5.
And I did 5, but with like the ninth and then with how consistent Sally was, I was like, I can't win, but I was like, I don't care if I come fifth, but like whatever I do.
Get me on tour.
Yeah, just get me on tour. And then when Sally lost and then I lost in the quarters, I was like, why? Yeah. Like I'm at the top of the rankings. I don't think anyone can overtake me.
Yeah. Right.
And then I ended up winning it and I was like, whoa. Like it was kind of like a really fulfilling reward for like the hard year that it was. It was just like
so
cherry
like,
on top.
Can't drive a car. You can't read a book. But you won the bloody Challenger Series.
Yeah. I don't know.
Love this story so much. For anyone who's like an athlete, I hope so many of the surfers listen to it. I hope all the girls on tour. I hope all the guys on tour. I hope all the guys and girls trying to qualify listen to this because the amount of excuses that I made in my own mind and I know so many of us make are all completely nullified from that story that you just told us of qualifying because it's just like, spectacular what you managed to achieve last year. Like, it's so cool. Yeah. So you qualify.
Yeah.
What did the last few months of the year look like? Because you get like 3-4, you had a bit of time off now getting ready for, you're saying in a few days you go to Hawaii.
Yeah, in a few
first
days.
First event of the year, pipeline.
Yeah. So, again, since coming back from...
Can you just live in a helmet for the next 2
weeks? I will be. When I go to Hawaii...
On the plane.
The helmet, everyone's been saying it to me. They're like, the time frame's getting close now and yeah, put the helmet on. And I was like,
no, you're
gonna
be
I will
good.
Be.
Don't
like,
even manifest it.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's...
You've had your time.
I'm so into all of that energy type stuff and I'm not focused on bringing that again, but I will be doing everything I can to avoid putting myself in that situation. But, yeah, the first event is Pipe. So that is the one where I still have to be careful because the risks are really high. So I'll be navigating that event very differently compared to all the rest of the tour.
Yeah.
I won't be able to do all of the hours of free surfing and stuff like that. Yeah. I'll be going into the heat, going to give it my best and give it a good go. But I know that I have to prioritize the level that I'm at because I know realistically I'm not
at
that
still.
Level where I can deal with another one.
Where would you say you are now going into Pipe compared to where you were when you finished in Brazil? Have you come back pretty good now? You're like recovery's come back quite a bit. Like are you surfing Pipeline, give no more injuries prior, the best that you've probably been going to a world tour event because you were pretty bad when you did the tour at Pipe years ago.
Yeah, I'm definitely better than when I went on my rookie year. Yeah. I'm nowhere near the 100% health mark. That's a process and it's a longer process. So but health-wise, I'm definitely...
Far better than the Challenger last year.
Yes. Like I have the energy to be able to surf for 45 minutes to an hour and do a gym session in the same day again. So like that's a really good point for me. And so I'll be able to go to Hawaii and I might be able to surf twice a day. Yeah. Like that's another really cool thing. Last time around I was surfing 20 minutes. So I was like, I wasn't the athlete that I had to be for when I was on tour, but this time around I'd say like mentally I'm definitely more prepared, and I'm the lessons I learned through this year of being able to trust in the 20 odd years of experience I have, that's enough to get me through.
Yeah.
And that I've like my ability's there, and I just have to make sure I'm looking after my health and the rest will follow.
Oh, I'm like, be scared if you're another girl on tour. Get you need a full health. It's crazy. I always think back to this one thing that Barton Lynch told me when I was younger with surfing heats when you're injured or not at your best. He's like, you're gonna win when you feel amazing, and you're gonna lose when you feel amazing.
Yep.
And you're gonna win when you feel like shit. And you're going to lose when you feel like shit.
Yeah.
So just try and, like, be on that winning side more often. Like, doesn't matter how you feel, you can still go out and win, and you're the perfect example of that. So
100%. Hopefully you can
take that mindset and use that as motivation into this year. Like, wow, look what I achieved when I was like that.
Yeah.
Now I can put the extra bit of effort, the extra bit of, you know, everything into my performance. Like, I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm really excited for what's ahead as well.
Yeah, amazing. Well, far out. I'm going to be cheering for you very loud for Pipe.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to this year on the tour. It's going to be pretty cool. Is there any changes on tour? What are you looking forward to next year? What's this year?
Yeah. So the first half of the year is still the same.
Yeah.
Again, I'm looking.
Because you didn't get to make the cut, so you haven't surfed the back half of the tour.
I haven't, but this year I will be.
Yeah, you will.
So the event at home, obviously, the Rip Curl Pro, going back into this one. Come on,
be at Bells this time.
I know. Hopefully we get waves this year. That's what I'm hoping for. And then I really enjoy surfing Sunset when it's big, and then going back to Portugal again. I mean, I'm looking forward to it all. Even the challenge of Pipe, I reckon that's going to be very interesting, and I think it'll be something that I'll have a lot of anxiety around, but then I'll just I'll paddle out and I'll just be ready to give it a red hot crack. Yeah, I reckon,
the act of confidence comes before the feeling. That's the best thing that Dingo told me once. It was at our Olympics training camp and Dingo did something.
Yeah.
And someone was like, how do you throw yourself over the ledge at 15-foot chokes? And he's like, I'm not confident. I just tell myself I'm confident, and then once I'm there, we're good enough to let it take over. Like,
yeah.
The thing that actually makes you fall is the lack of confidence. Yeah. It's the fear that comes into it where you second guess yourself and you don't back your ability. So.
You're
an amazing surfer. You're gonna do well.
Thank you.
I can't wait. It's gonna be an epic year. But far out, it's been a great chat. I was a bit worried that we weren't gonna be able to have a long podcast with already have done one, but we can continue to talk for hours because it's really cool to hear your story. I'm just so grateful that I get to be your friend and hear about it and get this kind of behind the scenes look at it. Hopefully we can get lots of people following and supporting your journey and listening to this episode and understanding and educating themselves, hopefully a bit on the different struggles that go with being a professional athlete, with head injuries, and the importance of taking care of it. Because I know there's going to be people who listen to this who unfortunately have a head injury, or have a family member, a friend who will be more educated now to tell people to take it seriously. So I really thank you for being so open and getting to share your story. It's been really fun.
Yeah, thanks for supporting me and letting me come on and just talk about it. Yeah, hopefully someone learns a bit more and then looks after their both physical and mental health. I think what you're preaching about, the whole mental health stuff, is so significant nowadays, and I definitely learn a lot from it as well. So thank you.
Well, let's finish with that, because you've already done. Actually, I'm going to ask you there what it's been a good human, and we're going to see how close your two answers are.
I can't remember what I said last time.
I listened to it. Anyway, but first I just want to say, when it comes to mental health, this is going to sort of be how we're going to wrap this up. You seem like you're in a pretty good spot now. Obviously, you've ridden this crazy roller coaster. What are some of the, let's call it daily habits that you're non-negotiable? Let's call it weekly. Sometimes things aren't always every day, but what's in your toolbox that you're like, okay, these are important for my mental health?
I think routine for me has been very crucial in just noticing what I need to do in order to achieve what I want to achieve. So I like to write, I like to sit down and write on a piece of paper what I'm going to do daily and on a calendar, and just make sure I can see what I'm going to do, and so then tick it off.
It's just out there.
Yeah, put it on an external page, and then I can tick it off as well. And then I can see, okay, when I think I haven't done much this week, I can look back and reflect and go, you've achieved a lot, India. Mm. Like, be a bit kinder to yourself.
Be kind to your mind.
Yeah, exactly. So that's definitely one. And then two is just connecting with my support network. I've learned the value of reaching out when you need to and then leaning on them for that extra bit of support, and that's been crucial.
I love that. That's actually a big theme of mine this year. I did a breath work the other day and I've been going through a couple big life decisions at the moment, and in this breath work I was like, okay, they're like, think of a theme in your head, and it was like an hour-long breath work, and my theme was just clarity. I need some clarity on these decisions I need to make at the moment. And the thing that just came to me was like, it's okay to ask for help.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm someone who's, I think it's a very common thing for men and just for athletes and for people who are capable of solving their own problems.
Yeah.
That we like to try and solve them ourselves. But my whole thing was like, it's okay to ask for help.
Yeah.
It's so fine to ask for help. Everybody should ask for help.
Definitely.
So that's a big theme for me this year, is learning how to ask for help, because I know that if anyone comes to me for help, I'm so thrilled to be able to help. Yeah. But I feel shame and guilt and all these weird emotions around asking for help.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a good theme. Anyone listening, it's okay to ask for help.
It is really tricky, to be fair. Like, it is so hard.
That's why I'm saying it. It's like something that I've probably never done.
Yeah.
Really, like very, very rarely in my life have I said, like, hey, I really need some help.
Yeah.
There's things that it's like, hey, pick me up from the airport. Like, there's bits of help like that. But when there's, like, being vulnerable with, like, stuff that's going on that you're keeping yourself, I'm lucky I've got a beautiful partner and we talk a lot about stuff. But outside of that, that's my theme this year. Any New Year's resolution for you?
Ooh, I haven't got a specific one, but I think it's the ongoing theme is to get my health back on track and focus on being a happy and healthy version of myself.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, you know what the last question is. You've been on the podcast before, but I'm going to see how close it is to your last answer, because I know this question will evolve.
Yeah.
Each day we'll have a different answer. So what does being a good human right now mean to India Robinson?
Right now I think it's checking in on the people around me, because, again, I'm so grateful for how much people were there for me in some of the hardest moments. So I'm really trying to make sure that I'm being that positive influence, whether that's face-to-face or with some of the stuff I'm doing on social media, making sure that it can maybe help or impact some of the younger girls and what they're going to do next. And I feel like we have a role as females or males as well. Like, we can influence them in a positive way, and there's never enough of it. So if I can be vulnerable and like share some of the stuff that I go through and it helps one person, then that's, I reckon, one of the best things to do.
I love that answer. That's so beautiful to reflect and know, hey, a lot of people have helped me.
Yeah.
Time to make sure that I do the same. Such a great way to answer that question. And I know you're helping so many. I know this episode is going to help a lot. If you are enjoying it, listening out there, make sure you share it on your social media. Tag both myself and India. I'll leave in the show notes India's Instagram. Mine's just at Cooper Chapman. But, yeah, would love for this episode to get out far and wide, I think, especially for surfers to understand what people go through. I think for any athlete to understand. So if you have a friend who's a surfer, who's an athlete, who follows the World Surf League, send this episode to them, send them a text message, because, yeah, the story that deserves to be heard. But thanks so much for jumping back on Good Humans.
Thank you for having me. How good.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.